So yeah, welcome back everyone. And good morning, Justine. It's interesting talking about energy. And I'm just aware how our energies might be very different because, you know, in UK, we are at the end of the day. So we've been kind of, you know, using our energy for 12 hours now, potentially. And Justine, you just waking up, having had the rest and starting the day. So it's interesting being at different energy levels, potentially. So I was thinking a little bit about the beauty of the path that we're treading together. And yeah, sometimes I can have this propensity to think, you know, a bit like a donkey on a, like having a hard working trail. But at the moment, I don't know, today, I think the beauty of the path is very much in my experience. And I don't know whether you all know, but I'm from the Czech Republic, and in the Czech Republic, when I was a child, one of the questions we used to ask ourselves is like, you know, do you like mountains or do you like the sea? And there is this, you know, could you get a combination of both? Can you have them, the mountains and the sea, in some kind of combination? So you can have that richness. And I feel that our path has got that richness. And it's got different elements to it on our spiritual path. And I'm surprised that Bodhilila hasn't mentioned the threefold path. Because when we were talking about the theme together, she was very keen on you know, thinking about the threefold path, and it just hasn't come up. So I thought I'll bring that in, because I think there can be different elements in which we can practice the tantric precepts. And I think when I started thinking about it, it was very much for me in the arena of ethics, thinking about the ethics. And wisely, Bodhidila pointed out to me, well, it's not just the ethics, it's all of it. You know, the meditation is related to the tantric precepts, and you very much can practice through meditation these tantric precepts. And as you're practicing and as you're turning your attention to how you work with energy, what you're doing with energy, how you relate with others, wisdom arises. So it's a really incredibly rich landscape that we might have at our fingertips exploring the five precepts. And they're all very much intertwined. I feel that certainly in our group, there was definitely, you know, spots of insights arising. So the wisdom comes through the exploration of our ethical practice, through our meditation practice. So it's all in there. And in a way, with the wisdom arising, we have ways of looking, and we might uncover different layers, and we might have this greater knowledge of ourselves. And what came to mind for me was the verses from Dhammapada, and it says, if you value yourself, then watch closely today and every day. Meditate. Discover for yourself what is true, and then encourage others to do the same. In order to fix the wrongs of the world, You must first do a more difficult thing. Discover yourself. So it's that, what I've sort of talked about already yesterday, that it's more we get to know what is happening for us, more we can bring awareness and mindfulness, and in relation to others, we can sort of work with an energy, because we are that manifestation of that energy, and more we can manifest in the way that we want to manifest. So far we were looking at the three precepts, and we looked at not obstructing energy, and we looked at not draining energy, and more positively giving freely of our own energy. And this morning we started looking at not misusing energy. So as we go through these precepts, there is a real trajectory here. We're looking at, or starting with, really a coarse energy, looking at what are the blockages, in what way energy gets blocked, not blocking. And then with the draining of energy, we were looking at, you know, how do you adjust the flow of energy? So looking at the volume, you know, and I was raising the idea of the scales. It's like, are you draining or are you giving? You know, is it flowing or is it sort of being sucked out? So we're moving more and more into subtle territory here. And I suppose with not misusing energy, we started to look at how do we actually direct our energy. And we could say that it's almost like being sometimes at a crossroads, and you might have, you know, those signs with the fingers pointing, skillful, unskillful, and you making that decision. And often these crossroads are not really external, they're very much internal. Bodhidila was pointing out that it really focuses, in terms of ethics, we're really in the territory of motivation, internal motivation. Something that, you know, nobody can say what is happening on a motivation level within you. Only you yourself, really, if you are, and this requires a certain level of honesty with yourself as well. Only you know what is actually happening within. So we're on this trajectory where we're looking at energy and how we work with that energy, and we're going into more and more sort of subtle territory. And I think Bodhidila teased out really clearly in her talk, in talk that was incredibly clear this morning, that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transformed. And I think it's worth pausing on that. If energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transformed, you know, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for, you know, how we work with these things, how we work with energy? So it's very much sort of linked to that self-discovery. You know, what do I do? How do I use or store energy? And I was lucky to spend lunchtime in the park opposite the center today, and I had company of Rachel from the retreat, which was absolutely delightful. And we were talking about conserving energy, and what Bodhidila mentioned in relation to the closed, you know, in the closed system, there can be conservation. But I was just then thinking about it, okay, so if we've got a closed system, for us to have a closed system is actually an incredible amount of energy to create conditions where you have a closed system. So often it's physicists in their laboratories, you know, spending incredible amount of money to create conditions when there are no other factors affecting whatever they're trying to work with within. And even then, the container itself will have an effect. So it's incredibly hard to create these closed systems. And as humans, we're actually part of an open system. We are part of an interchange. And there are conditions meeting other conditions constantly. And when these conditions meeting other conditions, we're being changed in the process. So I think it's really worth thinking about this directing. How do we actually transform? How do we direct energy? And in a way that it's beneficial. And it might be beneficial if it's in line with reality. Because if you're working against something, if you're working against reality, you're creating resistance. And in that way, you are misusing energy, which is what Bodhidila was talking about. In a way, energy is wasted. I called myself earlier on when, I don't know whether it was today or yesterday, Bodhidila called me martial artist. And I thought, yeah, I'm a martial artist. So here we go. Yeah, pride. Pride has arisen. And what a waste of energy. But I didn't keep it at that, because what I did in my mind was, I thought, oh yeah, but she's calling me a martial artist, and when have I trained really? When have I done my training? So am I a martial artist? And off I trotted on some kind of train of thought that was getting me nowhere. In fact, if at that point I just stood up and did even 2 minutes of practice, that would be a better use of my energy than going off somewhere with this line of thought. So I think what I'm trying to say here is that working with energy, it can get more subtle and subtle, and you've got choices and you can discern what you want to do with energy and how do you want to, you know, how do you get to translate it. So with the fourth precept, we're going into a territory of even more subtlety, and it's about selecting and discerning. So we're in the territory of appropriateness. And again, to link it to the precepts that we were chanting in the puja, we did puja this afternoon, if you went with us in the last session, we did sevenfold puja, where we chanted the traditional precepts. And the fourth precept is not to abstain from false speech. And the positive equivalent of that is, with truthful communication, I purify my speech. So Bodhidila was talking about actions being of body, speech and mind. And with the body, especially the sort of physical manifestation of our actions. And with mind, it's more on the sort of level of the mental level, on the level of thought. And in a way, speech is in between. Speech is like the bridge in between. So you might be, you know, as we're moving through the precepts, even the traditional precepts, you're going into more subtlety. You know, not something that necessarily manifests externally. And with the fourth precept, it's this kind of bridge where you're looking at speech that can, you know, it's almost like your thought might then sort of come out and meet the external world through your speech. So, and that power of speech, communication, it can be very strong. Bodhidhira was talking about how powerful words can be. And sometimes, you know, it's ringing in my ears, some sort of flashes of harsh speech that I've heard, and I still can remember the tone, the kind of the words that were said precisely. And I think I even had, before I became Prajnanita, my name was Hanka, but it's actually sort of a version of my name Hannah. But actually, when I was a child, the only time my mum or my parents would call me Hannah is if I did something wrong. So it was used in the way it was like a punishment, or it was kind of, yeah, it wasn't a pleasant vedana, pleasant feeling going through my body when I heard Hannah. And I remember coming to England when I was 19, and I would say, you know, what's your name? I used to work as an au pair, and I introduced myself as Hannah. And then for 2 years, I was called Hannah, and I thought, like, I'm not Hannah. So then I changed and started calling myself Hanka on introduction, so people would call me how I would normally be called, I suppose. So, you can see speech can have this, it can have this power, and we're getting into more subtlety here with speech as an action. So the equivalent in tantric precepts is I undertaking using for whatever purpose the energy appropriate for that purpose, not inappropriate. So I suppose in the tantric precept, we're not talking about just speech. So when we're talking about energy, it goes to all three actions, to body, speech, and mind. But we're having this greater subtlety. And the precept says using appropriate energy for the purpose. And then it's kind of like, it's got this afterthought of saying not inappropriate. So you've got this selecting or discerning. You're having to make a choice here in terms of like, is this appropriate or is this not appropriate? So you're making this kind of, like a discernment of what kind of action might be suitable. So the word appropriateness, if you actually, you know, I've looked it up, I said, you know, what is appropriateness? I mean, I don't know, some of you don't know me, but I go as far as going into the whole etymology of the word, and we are in the 15th century with it. But appropriateness is being suitable or proper in the circumstances. So having a situation and then selecting the fitting option for that situation, or energy. So selecting the strength or vitality that you want to, that is required for a particular activity. And I was thinking, you know, where in life are we good at this? Where in life are we, you know, quite appropriate in our action? And I was thinking, you know, most of the time, selecting clothes. You know, most of the time, I dress myself up, go outside, and I got it just about right, you know? It's appropriate. Now and then, I make a mistake. It's a bit cooler than I thought. And I think, oh, I should have taken a jumper. Never mind. You know, if I go out again in the afternoon, I'll take a jumper. What you do here is you don't really give yourself a massive guilt trip about whether you've got one less layer than you needed for the weather. So it's interesting how we actually, in our everyday life, potentially use this appropriateness of energy. And you can think of examples for yourself where you're pretty skilled at using energy appropriately. You kind of learn the craft. You know what energy to put in, which is appropriate for the particular task. And it's quite uncomplicated. You know, if you need to adjust it a little bit, then it's quite uncomplicated. So maybe you already have that in your life. So it's useful to just clock that. It's useful to just know, oh yeah, I am actually using energy appropriately. I used to play the violin, and my violin teacher used this verb, which I would, in Czech it says, rozvášňuješ se, už se zase rozvášňuješ. This is what she would say to me. And what that mean was, you are passion unfolding. And, you know, so she would use this verb, you are passion unfolding. And, you know, like, I used to play the violin for 10 years, and this is 25 years ago. And, you know, this is going back how much words can mean. You know, it's still with me, this phrase that she says. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, like, you know, why was she saying that? You know, what's wrong with playing passionately the violin? What's wrong with that? But now, having thought about it, what was wrong with it is that it had a lack of mindfulness. I would just get carried away. So I would lose myself and I would just get carried away. And so there was this kind of intoxication as part of this. So when you're talking about appropriateness, mindfulness, again, is really enormous part of that. Enormous part, mindfulness in action. Yeah. And with mindfulness, I was just looking at Catherine's message saying raga. Yeah. So mindfulness is a really big part of working with energy. And it goes for all the precepts. But as we go, we're into the subtlety, you know, we're also going into subtlety with the mindfulness. And when I say mindfulness, there are different parts to this. And some of you are sort of regulars who come to our classes and would have come across us studying the mind and kind of unpicking this a little bit more. But if you haven't, I think it's worth just looking at the different aspects of mindfulness. So it could be vigilance. You know, mindfulness as vigilance. And it's this non-intoxication or non-heedlessness. So when I was playing violin, it was my vigilance that would have gone. You know, I would just get intoxicated. Yeah. And if you think about it, playing the violin, potentially, karmically, you know, neutral, unless you know, Bodhilila is in the audience and thinks, oh my goodness, what is she doing with that piece? And anger arises for Bodhilila, and what happens then? You know, that could have a karmic consequence there. But otherwise, it's pretty sort of insignificant karmically. But in communication, when we're relating to another person, if this vigilance, if one gets intoxicated, that can be an issue. That can have a karmic issue. Yeah. So that's vigilance. Or we could think of another aspect of mindfulness. So thinking more about awareness. And awareness could be, you know, just like functional, sort of, I don't know, picking up, you know, making sure that you know, you're aware where you've put your keys as you're leaving the house, so you don't have to climb through the window because you locked yourself out. So it could be just that kind of awareness. Or it could be just being aware of your purpose. You know, when you go to a kitchen, and then you come to the kitchen and you think, like, what did I come to the kitchen for? I forget. So that would be lack of awareness, you know, lack of that kind of purpose there. What for we're doing something. And you could have awareness of means, how you actually go about it. And I suppose in spiritual practice, this is becoming interesting. You know, how do we select the right method for what we're trying to do? So again, here you've got that discernment, you've got that selection. And in our spiritual practice, it could be within a practice actually deciding and being aware what we're trying to actually do, what practice we're working at the time. So mindfulness, you can think of this vigilance or this awareness, or it can be a simple attentiveness. You know, it can be a simple just attending to what's coming through, a sense data and what that feels like. Is this pleasant? Is this unpleasant? So it could be just on that kind of level, on the level of attending to sense data. So mindfulness is incredibly important when we're trying to work with the tantric precepts, and when we're trying to, especially as we go into greater subtlety, kind of knowing what, you know, being attentive, being vigilant, or being aware is very important, so we can discern, we can select. And I suppose I'm thinking of different examples working appropriately with energy. So Bodhilila did mention martial arts, and in a way, martial arts is a really good example where you're working with energy. And actually, when you're training, and if you use energy inappropriately, you can injure people, you can injure yourself, and you can injure others. And in some ways, you know, that can have real karmic consequences. So in martial arts, you would, you are training with energy, and you're training how to use it appropriately. And for example, at the moment, I would be a dangerous martial artist because I'm not totally aware of my energy and of somebody else's energy. And if, for example, we had a play sort of play, I'd call it play fight, but it's like a, sometimes you practice, you do sparring. And I think when I was on a solitary, I was speaking to the people who run the solitary, and there were a couple of other martial artists, and one of them said that he was sparring with his daughter, and his rib got broken. And you can imagine, you know, that comes from the fact that people really don't quite know yet the power of the energy and the power and how to regulate it in relation to another person. So martial arts is fantastic training in working with energy. And I thought another training, and this is a little bit plug for a particular charity, is I don't know if you've heard Karuna. It's a charity that supports projects in India and works with people from community, very, very disadvantaged and discriminated against communities. So the main thing that Karuna is trying to do is collect funds so they can sponsor projects so people in India can run their own projects and sort of have this empowerment. So what Karuna does to get donors is these door-knocking appeals, or sometimes their phone appeals. During pandemic, it was especially phone appeals. But they do this door-knocking. And I think I was 14 years in education, and in education, it's probably a bit like in NHS or other statutory services. You have to do training. It's compulsory. You've got to be trained on a regular basis. And I went on a door-knocking appeal, which was for 6 weeks. And I reckon I had more and better training 6 weeks than I've had in my 14 years of teaching career. In terms of what I was learning on the doors knocking. And one of the fun sessions we had was learning how to work and match energy. So we would have these scenarios where we would be three people sitting together, and one person would be in the middle. And we would be kind of having this sort of scenario where we would imagine that we are on a train and we're having a conversation. And the person in the middle had to match the energy of the person on both sides. And the people on both sides would get, you know, what they were like. So they could be that they were really sleepy, didn't really want to talk to somebody. The other person might be that they were really loud. So the person in the middle had to kind of look out how to match the energy. And the reason why you're kind of using that is that when you come door knocking, you know, if somebody opens the door, it can be really jarring if when you actually meet them, you are not on the same energy level as they are. It can be, you know, like imagine somebody just woke up because they're going on a night shift, and you kind of come there with your way, you know, energy really loud. It can be kind of really difficult to sort of bear. So, fantastic training. And that was precisely kind of selecting and practicing choosing energy that's appropriate in relation to another person. And I feel like we were doing that in a puja today, Bodhi Leela and me, in terms of a call and response. So when you've got these practices like puja and you've got call and response, when you're responding, you can actually match the energy of the person that's calling. So in a way, even puja can be a practice for you on this particular tantric precept. And you can be looking at vigilance and awareness, attentiveness, you know, like if for example, somebody is calling and you don't have that, the vigilance goes, you might get all carried away. And somebody, especially on a Zoom, when it's just those two voices rather than collective response, it can be really jarring in that way. And you could see that attentiveness, I was thinking, it popped up for me in the puja this afternoon. I got distracted. So that was attentiveness. My attentiveness was gone. And I call it like being away with the fairies, like now and then on particular, I think it was even in the precepts, chanting the precepts. And it's because I had another thought. So you can see it was attentiveness, because it was like something different came along, a thought, and I just got distracted for a moment, and that affected that energy that was kind of playing out. So, yeah, I think I've talked for some time. So what I suggest, I've got a little bit more to say, but not much. So what I suggest is that we have a little play now together, and we'll chant Amoghasiddhi Mantra for maybe 5 minutes or so. And we can do that. We'll do that in call and response. So I'm going to be calling, and Bodhi Leela will be responding. And it'll be a little practice for us where we can see how, you know, to what extent we can use our energy appropriately to create the chanting together. And really what our purpose is here is we're trying to co-create. Yeah, Pranyanita and Bodhi Leela are co-creating, and what we're co-creating is this connection. Yeah, so that's me and Bodhi Leela, but you have even harder task, because you can match the call and also Bodhi Leela's one. Yeah, so because you are chanting at the same time as Bodhi Leela, so you can see whether you can call, you can sort of match the energy of my chanting and then match as you chant with Bodhi Leela. So let's have a go at that.
Om Amoghasiriya Om. 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 Om Namo Gurudevaya. Om
Namo Gurudevaya. Om
Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Om Namo Gurudevaya.
Thank you for that. Yeah. So there is something about that choosing appropriate energy, and also what you will notice, and I don't know whether you've noticed that in your experience, but I've noticed that in my experience that I also then needed to be attentive to body lila, even in the terms of what was the pause in between the two mantras. So you can see, it's not just one person. You know, when you're working with energy, it's not just one-way system. It's this interplay, yeah? And mindfulness really comes into that. I suppose I wanted to sort of highlight one more thing, and that was that the preceptors I undertake using for whatever purpose, the energy appropriate for that purpose, not inappropriate. And, you know, like we've looked at what appropriateness is, and that's kind of something that's suitable or proper for the circumstances. But in this precept, in this tantric precept, the purpose is said twice there. There's a real emphasis on that purpose, on motivation. And I don't know if anybody here have either trained in coaching or have been coached. Often you set goals. If you want to achieve anything, it's really worth kind of knowing where you're aiming, you know, where you're going with things. Or if you've got an archer, for example, and the archer is skilled or wants to be skilled in precision, often they will be shooting on a target so they can kind of see where roughly where they you know, is their skill, is their precision kind of really is that being cultivated. So it's very important that we kind of get to really understand what is our purpose, what is it that we're actually trying to do, what is it that we want in life, and what's the most important thing that get us going, you know, that can motivate us to do whatever practices we want to do. And Bodhidhira's been talking about the seeds. And so this is about sort of finding out, well, what kind of plant are you? You know, what is your life's work? What is your purpose? And each one of us here, each one of us will have something that, like this pattern in psychology, I suppose they called it gestalt. You know, there is like this pattern where it kind of determines what kind of seed you are that can grow and get uncovered. And we can use that in practice, when we're practicing, when we're doing meditation or when we're doing chanting. We can really set an intention. And when we set an intention, when we clear about purpose, then we can begin to think, or, you know, are we applying, what might be the appropriate energy to use for what we're trying to do. So with this precept, is that appropriateness, and so it's that discerning quality which really entails mindfulness in all these different aspects of it, and also that purpose, having the purpose in mind, kind of really knowing the motivation or knowing that intention behind what we're trying to do. So I think that's kind of most things I wanted to say on this particular precept. And I thought we can play a little bit more by chanting and just sort of raising our awareness in terms of directing energy, you know, choosing appropriate energy, directing that energy, deciding on the direction of it, what might be appropriate, what might not be appropriate. So we'll chant for a moment. I would say we'll chant probably for about four or five minutes, and then I'll say something and we'll chant again for 4 or 5 minutes, and then we might move a little bit and then have a sitting meditation. So that's for the rest of our session. So with the chanting, we'll chant Tara mantra, and I'd like to invite you in the first moment when we're chanting to really Think about your breath as you're chanting. And I want you to play with your breath and with the chanting. And see if you can breathe in and then chant the phrase as the breath goes out. And as the breath goes out, if your energy can go down to the earth, down to the ground. So it's almost as you're breathing in, I think I've got an image of green Tara that's behind me on the shrine. So let's see if we can, if you can see her. So as you're breathing in, you're breathing in green Tara. And as you're chanting, you can, that energy can just go as you're breathing out, that energy just goes into the earth through your whole body. Yeah? So just see with that. And if it sounds too complicated, anything like, oh, I'm getting all muddled up, well, just notice what's going on. And remember that you're playing. So there are, you know, it's a play. And when you're aware and attentive, learning is happening anyway. So we're just learning to be more attentive to energy and seeing what's happening.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Swaha Om Tare Tare Tu Re Swaha Om Tare Tu Tare Tare Tu Re Swaha Om Tare Tu Tare Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Swaha Om Tare 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 swaha. Om tare.
We can play some more. And this time round, it's almost like Tara is within us. And if that doesn't really work for you, maybe think of that compassion that she's got and that being, you know, within you, within your body. And what I'd like you to have a go in or have a go at is that this time around, take the breath from your belly, so you breathe in from the belly, and on the breath out, when we're chanting the mantra outwards, it's almost like the mantra is being offered to everyone on the retreat. So we're offering that outwards to others. We're offering that compassion or kindness or the quality that is very, that you'd like to offer to others going outwards. So we're taking that breath from within and then chanting outwards.
Om Tare. Om Utare. To reswa. Om tare. Tare.
So, yeah, it's interesting what happens when we work with the energy in different ways. And yeah, it might be interesting to see how you got on with that. In some ways, whether that worked as a practice. Now we will do a little meditation, and in meditation, work with energy again, and that using that appropriate energy for balancing. But I thought before we do that, because we've sat for some time, I would invite you to just have a little bit of a wiggle before we're sitting some more. I don't know if anybody lying down, you might not have that need, but if you have been sitting, it might be worth just to have a little wiggle. And there is something about just really, you know, just having that little shake. Yeah. And sometimes with the energy, there's also that whole, you know, don't know if you like, one of my favorite things is just to be a windmill, you know, just like going around that. And like, you can just see to what extent you can do that with minimum effort. So it's energizing, but you're not expending any energy whatsoever. So, let's meditate. And it's worth just noticing, you know, like how we say, now we're doing this, and do we bring more mindfulness or do we change energy? Because we say now we will meditate. Or do we actually continue? Have we got this continuity of awareness, continuity of mindfulness in between, you know, even getting up or changing position? Or do we kind of, I don't know, for me what happens is, got kind of like an on and off switch button. It's like, now I'm practicing awareness and now I've just totally lost it. And you know, it's almost like the practice just go blah. And I suppose on our path, what we're trying to do is we're trying to increase awareness and we're trying to have awareness and kindness as a continual way of being without this kind of on and off. And for it to be effortless, which is what the bodhisattvas, you know, Green Tara, when she's there with her leg ready to help out, ready to be in compassionate action, it's not that she's has to expend lots of energy. It's just, it's just spontaneous action. Bodhisattvas acting spontaneously. Yeah, it's almost like the energy is just flowing through. So, yeah. So I invite you to just settle. Sometimes in the scriptures we've got this settle bodily formation. I like that. So can you just settle your bodily formation? Just noticing what's happening with all the sensations, with energy. Within your body. And just allowing that grounding, first of all, allowing to take your space. Allowing to sort of take your roots in this earth. Letting that exchange where your legs or whatever is in contact with the ground, where that contact takes place, allowing that energy to connect into the ground and imaginatively into the earth. And if you're sitting, just extending in a most natural way your spine and the head kind of gently poised on your spine. So our body is fully supported by the ground. And just taking our space. In the sky. And bringing your attention to your heart center. And allowing awareness to fill your heart center. So there is kindly awareness. Just bringing that kindly awareness to your breath. Maybe attending to the breath. We'll just sit for 10 minutes. You might adjust energy appropriately so you can stay with your breath, you can attend to it. And just noticing what's required, what's appropriate. Is it making more effort? Is it just letting go and relaxing? Just sitting. With the breath. Using energy appropriately. So in your own way, bringing the practice to a close. Maybe just sending each other that appreciation of being able to practice with each other. This evening, yeah, I feel very lots of gratitude that we can have this opportunity to practice. So we'll have a close to this evening, and we'll have tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, which will be evening for Justine. So hope you sleep well. Recharge that energy. See how you use the energy overnight, and Justine during the day. And we'll meet each other on, you know, in just 11 and a half hours.